Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. For our final review of art exhibitions on show this year, we're dialing up New York for Charlotte Byrne's top tips of what to see as 2015 comes to a close. Today we'll be discussing modernist artist Archibald Motley at the Whitney, Barbara Rossi's first New York museum show at the New Museum, and we'll end up at Hauser & Wirth for a show of Mark Bradford's mysterious layered collage paintings. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review. Stay tuned. Charlotte Byrnes, US News Market and Business Editor at the Art Newspaper. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, we're going to start off with Archibald Motley. It's called Jazz Age Modernist, and it's on at the Whitney until the 16th of January. Tell us about this show.
Well, I first saw a version of this show at LACMA in LA, and here it is at the Whitney. It's travelling. It began at the Nasher Museum of Art at Duke University, and this is the final stop. And I recommend, if you're in town, you pop along and see it, because it's a jewel of a show. And it kind of emphasizes the fact that the Whitney wants to look at a different view of modernism, a different part of modernism than we're used to seeing, basically looking at artists who may have been overlooked previously. Mm-hmm. And Archibald Motley is one of these artists who deserves a reappraisal.
Yeah. Now, this carries 42 of his paintings, spanning from 1919 to 1963. So it's a full-scale survey of his career. But actually, it's a relatively small but surviving body of work. Why is that?
I'm not really sure. I think his star waned while he was alive. He was popular for a while. W.E. Du Bois called him a credit to his race at one point. And then later, he sort of just became less popular. I think, fashions change and he maybe went out of fashion. He also changed his style of painting. You see through the show somewhat changed. So at the beginning, he engages very much with racial stereotypes to some extent. He looks at all different kinds of skin color and wants to paint them. So on the one hand, he's trying to tackle different stereotypes and break them down and show that people weren't all the same skin color. And on the other hand, he introduces caricatures into his work of, what an African-American man might look like. And in the catalog, they say that this is his sort of alter ego in the paintings. By the end of his career, the final painting he ever makes before he downs paintbrushes for the final, I think, 9 years of his life, when he never paints again, he paints quite a very fierce and definitely invested in racial issues work called The First 100 Years. He amongst you who is without sin shall cast the first stone. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And this is incredibly topical, dealing with, Ku Klux Klan figures, the Statue of Liberty, coloured's only sign, and it's much more robustly engaged with issues of racial politics than his earlier works, which are, as the title suggests, more to do with a kind of jazz age modernist. Mm. So we see him change through the course of his career. One thing that remains consistent is his spectacular use of colour, which I just hadn't realised until you see the works in person. They don't quite come across in reproductions the same way.
Mm. Do you think that his work changed because of his location? Because he started off in Chicago, then he was in Paris, and then towards the end of his life he visited Mexico a great deal.
I'm not really sure. I think it's hard to say. He was always something of an outsider. He himself came from a mixed race family. He married his high school sweetheart, who was white, and her family disowned her for marrying him. He was, he's allied with the Chicago school, but he never lived there. He was living in Chicago, sorry, but he was born in New Orleans, and then he moved to Chicago, and he was associated with the Harlem Renaissance style, even though he never lived in Harlem, sorry, rather than Chicago. Mm. So he is always someone who was somewhat at odds with everything that you kind of thought he would be. And I think he was quite used to being an outsider. He was one of the only African-American artists at the Chicago Institute when he studied there. So the outsider status, I think, is something he always had as part of his life.
Mm-hmm. He's been called one of the great visual chroniclers of his era. So that's Archibald Motley. The show's called Jazz Age Modernist, and that's at it's organised by the National Museum at Duke University, but it's at the Whitney until the 16th of January. Let's move on now to Barbara Rossi. Now, this is at the New Museum. Tell us about this show.
This is a super small show. There are just a handful of works in this exhibition. And Barbara Rossi is someone whose work I really didn't know at all before I saw this exhibition. There's something really weird and kind of great about her paintings. You can't really put your finger on them. She's part of the group of the Chicago Imagists who did reverse paintings on plexiglass. But beyond that, it's quite hard to put her into any kind of category. The paintings are these sort of odd, dreamy works that look a little bit like religion met science and made art. Mm. She created a style of painting, I think she called it the dream painting. She calls them her magic paintings, where she wanted, she could be a representative figurative painter, but she decided not to be. She had been a Catholic nun as well, and she decided for her painting, for her art, she didn't want to be totally representative, so she came up with this way of working with her drawings that she would begin in the middle of the page and just sort of start working and see where the pen and pencils and paints in the end took her. So you see that in her work, this element of surprise. I imagine the works were surprising even to her when they were completed, because it doesn't really seem like she knew where she was going with them, and that's not a bad thing when you stand and look at these works. They're, you know, kind of unfold and unfurl as she mixes, you know, lowbrow culture, body parts, vernacular images, outsider images. There's lots of things that you can see have influenced her and created this quite unusual work, which is quite beautiful, kind of strange and definitely interesting.
And she seems to work in a variety of sort of different mediums within the reverse plexiglass. I mean, it starts off, her printmaking clearly has influenced it. And there are lots of sort of fine line drawings, but there's sort of, she embellishes the surfaces and she does all sorts of things with the material.
Yeah, she does. The most striking thing is like you say, this sort of graphic element that you see. I think the kind of Chicago images were influenced by things like reverse images from pinball machines, and you see that very linear graphic quality in her work. She also embellished them, like you say. She just sort of moved into her own world. These are paintings like I haven't really seen before. I didn't really know her work, and the new museum is doing a great job of bringing overlooked artists like this, who, you know, she's still alive, she's still working and making art, and I think it's great that she's, you know, getting a museum show. It's giving her a bit of the recognition she probably deserves.
Mm. You talk about her being a previously being a nun, and of course the devotional images do feature a lot in this work. But the catalogue talks of her appreciation of art as a conduit of complex mental states. And I wonder how that manifests itself.
You see that, like when you stand in front of the works, there's that kind of strange sensation you get if you stand in front of any, you know, religiously informed work, whether it's Buddhist sculpture or Catholic iconography. There's this sense that somebody creating an image, creating an object, was compelled by something other than sheer form. And I think that's part of Rossi's work too, that with her she was traveling into another kind of state. And obviously as a person she was interested in religion and devotion, and that informs her work.
Mm. So that's Barbara Rossi. She's at the new museum. You'll have to hurry for that one, though. It closes on the 3rd of January. And on to the final one. This is from Hauser & Wirth, and they present Mark Bradford. Tell me about this show.
I really love Mark Bradford. I think he's one of the best artists working today. He is he's a very tall guy, and the only reason that's really relevant is because he makes appropriately large work, and you see that here at Hauser & Wirth. Hauser & Wirth has a very large space. It's the former Roxy Disco in downtown New York. And very few artists are able to deal successfully with such an overwhelming space. Mark Bradford, who I think is 6'7", does a really good job of it here. So he presents various elements in this work. The first thing you see when you walk in is a large video work where the wheels of roller skates sort of loll about the camera and perform their own activities. And they are roller skates taken from the Roxy. When Hauser moved in, there were hundreds of pairs around the place, and they shipped them all to Mark Bradford, who hung them from the rafters in his studio, trying to decide what to do with them, apparently skating around while thinking, and in the end realized that the wheels were sort of like characters themselves. He's spoken about the fact that, you know, there's this one messy one that's kind of like the drunk at the end of an evening. So he clearly identified narratives within these forms. And there's a more serious thing too, which he was thinking a lot about the Roxy at the time, that it was, you know, this sort of disco roller skate venue, and it coincided with the AIDS crisis in New York. The work, you know, is political, and with Bradford it always is. There's always something of humour and there's always something of politics, and that's very much the case with this show.
Mm. Lots of collage paintings, multi-layered collages built up into intricate and they say mysterious layers.
Yeah, Mark has a really interesting way of working that sort of archival, like he excavates the painting. He creates layers and layers and layers on his work, and then he pulls through them. So he has sort of, I'm not sure whether they're cords exactly or what they are. I think they're sort of cords or maybe some kind of thin ropes that he has through the canvases, and he lines them, and then he'll pull them off, and then that will reveal various layers underneath. So they're heavily worked surfaces. And one of the works in the show is called Waterfall, and it's all of these pulled off remnants that are hung over a huge beam, taller than Bradford himself, and they resemble a sort of sculpture, painting, object. And he works in this way where you go close up and you just see what could almost be sort of, you know, centuries of work, although it's, you know, it's obviously not, these were made in the last couple of years. And this intricacy in the process, and these works in particular, he always works in this way, but with these paintings at Hauser, he has they're referencing sarcoma cells and the ways in which the kind of cancerous cells that appear if someone is suffering from AIDS, and he's looking at the way that those cells sort of manifest and alter. So that's a sort of subtle reference in the work as well.
Mm. What are his other subjects? I mean, you talk about HIV and the fact that his work is very political. What else does some of it depict?
Well, in this show, in the past, Mark has been engaged in lots of different works. He's very much an artist who's engaged with the wider world and the issues. And he's spoken about that in the past, talking about how he came from, you know, a relatively meager background. His mum was a hairdresser and he helped her out. And he's, you know, one of the artists who was first involved in the New Orleans Biennial Prospect, which was launched after Katrina. And he created an incredible work for that called Mithra. And he went and lived in New Orleans and became part of the community and was embraced by everybody there and is very well liked, and sort of tread that quite difficult path of making work about something that's a very real tragedy for a lot of people and doing so sensitively and in a way that a lot of people really admired. So he has this history. In this particular show, he looks at comedy. He also there's a video where he actually tries out his sort of comedy chops and apparently was channeling Eddie Murphy. He's personally said that he finds comedy to be mean, often picks on, you know, people who can't really defend themselves. And he sort of deconstructs that here, where he channels the persona of a kind of amped up Eddie Murphy. Apparently he was roaming around in a leather suit in his studio and his assistants got aboard with him. so he channels that, and he looks at that kind of mean humor or the idea of taking racial stereotypes and putting that out there first, like comedians like Richard Pryor do or artists like Kara Walker do, where you tackle those stereotypes before anybody else does, whether that's being African-American or whether it's the way that comedians like Eddie Murphy spoke about being gay and the kind of alluding to the fact that if you were gay, it was a kind of sickness. And again, that ties into this AIDS crisis and this idea that that was fine, that you could make humor about that and talk about catching things from gay people, or, you know, humor around women. And Bradford has always been a kind of vocal supporter of women's rights, because so he often talks about his mum and how great she was. So there's a lot going on, as usual, in a Mark Bradford show. And moreover, you know, it looks great too. It's a really fantastic looking exhibition. So I recommend heading down there. And also, Hauser is not in this space for that much longer. I'm not totally sure when they move. I think it's some stage next year. And their lease is up on the Roxy. So this is a great show to have before they move out.
Thank you so much. So head down to the Roxy. That's for Hauser Inverse exhibition of Mark Bradford. It runs only until the 23rd of December. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Charlotte Burns, thanks very much for joining me. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer was Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our final music review of 2015. But for now, thanks for tuning in.